Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 8, verses 21 to 24. John chapter 8, verses 21 to 24. Now keep in mind the subject, in your sins. In your sins. Let's read John chapter 8, verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, that's a loaded little passage there and needs to be studied out a little bit, kind of see what all it has in there. And it's pretty simple as you see it laid out. The trouble with all men, according to this passage, is that they are born into Adam's line, and as such, they die. If nothing changes between birth and death, they not only die, but they die, as Jesus says, in their sins. He said to them, Ye shall die in your sins. Three times in four verses. And that's profound. Only Jesus is the remedy for this problem. And so what we need to do is we need to examine what he's telling them, what he said here in the text, so we can see how the whole process progresses. In his natural state, man has four problems that are included in the thing that Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees here. Four problems in his natural state. The first problem that man has in his natural state that results eventually in him in dying in his sins is that he is from beneath. He said he is from beneath. Look at verse 23 again. He said unto them, Ye are from beneath. Well, beneath heaven is the earth, and that's where men come from. If you'll go back to Genesis chapter 2 and look at verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And as a result of the sin in the Garden of Eden, men are going to return to that ground. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So, you know, we come from the dirt, we're going to the dirt. Dirt bags. And that's a problem with men. In our natural state, we are earthy, and we are heading to a grave in the ground, and our bodies will decompose into dirt. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. Same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15:48. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. So we came from Adam. Adam came from the earth. Therefore, we are earthy. Now, what's the problem with the earth? Well, after the fall, the problem with the ground is it is cursed. Genesis 3:17 said, And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. So this old ground is dirt, and this old dirt is cursed, and you and I are heading to be placed bodily back into this dirt and turn into decomposed dirt. And that's all there is to it. And that's the biggest problem that a man has in his natural state. He comes from the dirt. He comes from Adam, and Adam came from the dirt. Now, the problem with that, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, is this. As in Adam, the Bible says, all die. You ever been to a graveyard before? It's an amazing thing. But everybody born in this earth winds up in that graveyard. Now, Elijah didn't, but he will, or he'll at least die. Moses did, and he will again. Both of those, Revelation chapter 11. The only one who missed that is Enoch, which is a strange case, except unless you consider that there is a rapture that allows us to escape natural death if we are alive when the Lord returns to rapture the church out of the earth. And then Enoch is our type in the Old Testament. Never die, never will. Like Jesus Christ said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So we have a type of that in the Old Testament. And so many of the things that we find to be true in the New Testament are prefigured by metaphors in the Old Testament. So the first problem that a natural man has in this earth is that he is earthy. And as a result, he's going to wind up in that graveyard. Well, medical science has done everything they possibly can to delay that process, but they have never succeeded in stopping that process at all. And consequently, when you go to the graveyards, you may find that some men are there because of the wars. Some men are there by natural causes. Some are there by cancer. Some are there by car wreck. Some are there by overdose. You can think of every medical reason under the sun why that graveyard is full. I'll give you one reason, and one reason only. That graveyard is full because everybody that ever was born in this earth came out of the dirt, and they, by virtue of the fall, are going to wind up in that dirt, and that is the biblical explanation. But that's not the only problem that a man has. According to Jesus Christ in this text, the other problem that a man has is that he is not only from beneath, he's of the world. Look again in verse 23. He said unto them, you are from beneath, ye are of this world. Now, what's the big deal there? Well, this whole world is opposed to God. I don't know if you've ever noticed, you should have, but the sun moves in one direction and the earth moves contrary to it. And that's a good picture of Jesus Christ and the world. Jesus Christ moves one direction. He is the Son of righteousness, and he's pictured by the sun that's up there in the sky, and the earth moves in the opposite direction. They are contrary, the one to the other. And so, consequently, anything that has to do with this old world is going to be a problem for anybody that is of the world. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world. And that's the problem with men. They love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, those things are contrary. So everything that's done by television and radio advertising, for the most part, is designed to get you to love this world and the things that are in this world. And the Lord said, don't love it. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so the hardest thing that a soul winner will have to do is to get a man that he's dealing with to break free from his love of the world in order to love God enough to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. The Bible goes on to say, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And what's the problem with the world? The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the problem with being of the world is that the world passes away, and all this lust that was designed to attract your attention away from the love of the Father causes the lust to pass away and anybody that loved the world to pass away with it. Now, when the words of God are preached, a man that is of the world doesn't want to hear the words of God preached because, John said, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. So all this talk that you hear in newspapers and in magazines and in television and in radio and coffee shops and all that other kind of stuff, and even has creeped now into the churches, is just talk of the world, talk of the world. Worldly conversation. Everybody is hung out on what the president's doing and what Saddam Hussein is doing, and what the World Council of Churches is doing, and what the UN is doing, and what their favorite athletes are doing, and what their favorite movie stars are doing, and what their favorite musicians are doing, and what their favorite business is doing, and what the stock market is doing, and what the weather is doing, and what the soap operas are doing, and all these things consume the total mental and emotional energy of people, and so they are so tied into the world because they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. Now we're of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. And that's the problem, see? So Jesus Christ said to them that ye are of the world. So Jesus came in talking about heavenly matters, like him being the bread of life, and him being the water of life, and him being as the serpent that was raised up in the pole in the wilderness by Moses. And he talked of heavenly matters, and these Pharisees were concerned with outward appearance, and they were concerned with washing the hands and washing the cups and platters and keeping all these earthly ordinances that they had designed in the name of God, taken from the commandments of God, making the commandments of God of none effect. And they were so concerned about catching Jesus Christ in a trap, and they wanted to know the answers of marriage because they were sex maniacs. They were a wicked and adulterous generation. They wanted to know about the superscription on Caesar's money and the tribute money because they were money hungry. They turned the house of prayer into a den of thieves. They wanted to know about the law because they were legalists, and they had no love of God the Father, and therefore no love of the Son. And when Jesus came in talking about heavenly matters, they looked at him like he was some sort of alien from outer space, and they didn't know what to make of him. And that's because they were worldly. And that's the second problem that the natural man has. He's of the earth, so he's going to die. He's of the world, so he concerns himself with worldly matters. But the world is going to pass away. Your favorite rock star is going to die. Your favorite sport athlete is going to die. He's going to rise as a shining star, and then one day he's not going to be any good anymore, and they'll soon forget about him, and then they'll go thinking about the next new kid on the block. And all these things rise and they fall. They rise and they fall. But you know something? The Word of God abides forever. And so Jesus Christ was giving these Pharisees the Word of God, and they didn't want anything to do with him because they were of the world. That's the problem with the world. The next problem that a natural man has is that he is dead in his sins. Verse 21, ye shall die in your sins. Verse 24, ye shall die in your sins. Verse 24, ye shall die in your sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You go over to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 1 for a moment, and you're going to find a very interesting thing. The thing about men is that they are sinners, and the Bible says about Jesus Christ, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So the very fact that you are a sinner and begin to sin and go on in your sins has put the death warrant on you, and as far as God is concerned doctrinally, you're already dead. He told one of his potential disciples who wanted to go bury his father, he said, let the dead bury their dead. Walking men without Christ are dead. And so this death comes as a result of sin. The wages of sin is death. The iniquities that you have in your heart, the iniquities that you commit with your flesh, the iniquities that you commit with your mind, set you up for the kill. The Bible says your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's Isaiah 59:2. Those are vicious, terrible words, but they're true words. And a man who would go on in this life in the pleasures of sin, neglecting Jesus Christ, though he may be a very religious man, he may be a very charitable man, he may be a very nice man, he may be a very gentle man, he may be a very good man, but if he is without Christ, he's a dead man. He'll die in his sins, and when he does, the Bible says, the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Not only will he die once in his body, but he'll die another time in his soul, and his old soul will be turned into a worm. The Bible says about hellfire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. That's the terrible thing of a man that's dead in his sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ pronounced the verdict to the Pharisees and said, "Ye shall die in your sins." Now, they were offended by that. They didn't want to hear that. Who is this man to tell us that we will die in our sins? How does he know these matters? But the Lord Jesus Christ knew them. And I'm telling you that he knows that about you. And if you're not a saved Christian, just going to church doesn't make you a saved man. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You got to be saved, you'll see how here in just a minute, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't mean believing that he was there and that he was real. I mean believing him with all your heart, to trust him plus nothing else, that he and he alone will get you to heaven. That's the problem. Otherwise, you're earthly, and therefore you turn into the dust again. You're worldly, therefore you're consumed with worldly matters, and you're dead in your sins. I tell you, a lot of these churches have gone to worldly matters, unfortunately, because a lot of people in them are not saved. You say, is that a judgmental state? Well, just the world has crept in there in order for worldly people to attract more worldly people so they can get a lot more money to build a bigger ministry. That's not necessarily something that's from God, unless the people are saved. Now, if a man's of the earth, if a man's of the world, if a man's dead in his sins, therefore, the fourth problem, the natural man has, is he cannot go to heaven. Look at verse 21. John chapter 8, verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, "I go my way, ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins." Watch it. "Whither I go, ye cannot come." There's no way for a natural man to get past his sins, to get past his death, or to get past his second death apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that some people were told that they could go or that they would go. Yet he told these Pharisees, "You're not going." He said, "Whither I go, ye cannot come," because an earthly man can't go there. There's nothing to lift him off the earth. A worldly man can't go there. As a matter of fact, he wouldn't be happy there because it's not of the world. And a man dead in his sins cannot go there because sin has no place in heaven. And therefore, he's stuck to die in this earth, to die in this world, to die in his sins. But we know that some people could go, some people would go. A good example, have you thought of him? Have you thought of him? Is the thief on the cross. Look in Luke 23 at verse 42. Luke 23 and look at verse 42. Now the thief was reviling Jesus there for a while, and then he looked at him and he said to Jesus, "Lord," well, that's a great thing to call Jesus Christ, because that's what he is. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Well, in order for him to say that, he would have to believe in Jesus' resurrection and in Jesus' kingdom, that he would actually be the king of the Jews and have that kingdom someday. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Well, he could have told the Pharisees that if they'd have believed him. But he told that thief there, you know what, in John chapter 14, he told his disciples that they could go, that they would go. John chapter 14, verse 3, "I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you've known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Oh, that's a great verse of scripture there, because he told his disciples in no uncertain terms, "I'm going, and where I go, you're going." and I'm going to come and get you and take you there with me so that we can be together. Now, why could those people go, like the thief on the cross and the disciples and Paul, who said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and he knew he'd be with the Lord. How could those people know they were going to be with the Lord and not these Pharisees? Well, because they believed that I am he, Jesus Christ said in verse 24 of John chapter 8, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So he gave them a way out. He gave them a condition. He said, if ye believe not that I am he. Well, the converse of that is also true. If you believe that he is, then you go. Then you can get out of this earth. Then whither I go, ye can come. But what do you believe about him? Well, in this text, he says, first of all, you got to believe in his deity, that I am he, that Jesus said in verse 21, I go my way. He said in verse 23, I am from above. I am not of this world. Therefore, he'd have to be God. And so that's a real bone of contention. Oh, there are a lot of these religions today that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And I point them out to you because they're so well known. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they do not believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty manifest in the flesh, in spite of the fact that 1 Timothy 3:16 says that he was. And he says, I'm from above. I'm not of the world. And so these are lying cults that go around to lead about these people to go into their churches, and they're all going to die and go to hell. Because Jesus said, whither I go, ye cannot come. Listen, in John chapter 3, verse 13, Jesus told them where he was from. He said, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. In John chapter 4, verse 42, the Samaritan said, we've heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. In John 1:49, Nathanael came and he said, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. In John chapter 6, Jesus said to those people, he said in verse 35, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. And after his resurrection, he said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. He came from heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 said, he's from heaven. He's the heavenly. There's such a difference. You've got to believe that he's God or you're not saved. And it's that simple. That's why we are so opposed to modern Bibles, because they spare no effort in place to place and from time to time to attack the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to condemn people that don't believe that he is God manifest in the flesh. But that's not all. Not only do you believe his deity, but you believe his crucifixion. Look at verse 22. The Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. Well, they were getting warmer. You know, not back there in John chapter 7, when we studied verse 35, and he said, where I am, thither you cannot come. They thought he was going to go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles. And now they figure, in order for him to accomplish what he said, he'd have to die. Well, you know, that's what he said he would do. In Matthew 16, he told Peter and them, I'm going to die. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 and 19, he said, I'm going to die, and told them exactly how it was going to happen. What's the big deal there? Well, you've got to believe in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't just mean that he in fact died on a cross, because many people believe that, but that he actually died on the cross for your sins. 1 Peter says it very well in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. The Bible says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. You see, when I've talked to people before about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, they say, oh yeah, he died for the sins of the whole world. You know, that's not nearly as potent, and that's not nearly as powerful as believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins individually, and if nobody else in this universe had sinned, your sins were enough to send him to the cross, and he died for you. Listen, if you don't realize the personal substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ for your sins, then you're going to have a hard time realizing your personal need of Jesus Christ as your Savior. But that's not all. Not only, according to this text, do you believe in His deity, that is, that He's God manifest in the flesh, and His crucifixion, that is, that He died for your sins. He was just and you are unjust, and you as a sinner need His personal substitutionary death for your sins, but also in His resurrection. Also in His resurrection, you say, well, no, I think He rose up in the spirit, but I don't think He bodily rose from the dead. Well, then you don't. Then you have a real problem, because according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Well, that's the problem of a natural man. You gotta believe that Jesus Christ raised up from the dead. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There are a lot of people that don't believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. He bodily came up out of that grave, and He bodily rose, and anybody that will trust Him will come out of those sins, and they will bodily come up out of that grave at the rapture. But that's not all. Not only according to this text do you need to believe in His deity and in His crucifixion for your sins and in His bodily resurrection, you also have to believe in His ascension. His ascension. He said, whither I go, ye cannot come. Listen, there's no bones about it. Jesus told them when He preached on the bread of life, He said, what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? He did. He said to them in John chapter 16, He said, a little while, and ye shall not see Me, and again a little while, and ye shall see Me, because I go to the Father. Now, that's very important, because when Jesus Christ went to the Father, then Ephesians 2 says, when we get saved, we have been raised together with Him and seated together with Him in heavenly places. Well, then, if we're in heavenly places, guess what? We're no longer in our sins. Like 1 Corinthians 15:22 said, as in Adam all die. Well, we've dealt with that. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. So you've got to believe Jesus Christ in such a way that the Holy Spirit will put you into His body and then spiritually raise you immediately to seat with Him in heavenly places. And therefore, once you're in heavenly places, you're no longer in your sins. And you see, Jesus Christ Himself personally is the solution for the problem of dying in your sins. Listen, let me plead with you just one more moment. If you are not in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because you've not trusted Him, then you're still in your sins, and if your sins, you're going to die and go to hell. Please, trust Jesus Christ now.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.